Good morning, everybody. If you weren't here on Friday, you missed a real treat with the Jam for the Lamb. And as I was sitting there on Friday evening, I thought, man, these are my people. It was so encouraging. It was just such a great time. But more importantly, I was thinking, I know, Bruce, did you, what was worship? What was the definition of worship again? Okay, the kiss towards the Lord. And I thought afterwards, I thought, you know, today, this morning, when I was praying and walking, I thought, you know what? I was saying, these are my people, but that's what God was saying to us while we were praying. These are my people. So this morning, just be, this is a, such a good reminder that you are God's people, and what a great opportunity that we have to hear the word and just to be together. So let's pray. Lord, we want to give you thanks this morning for your love for us. Thank you that we are your people. That's just so important to us. Thank you again for our salvation. Thank you that it's free for us, but it cost you dearly to be able to go to the cross and then be separated from your Father, something that you had never experienced and something that we will never have to experience. So we thank you for this opportunity to hear your word. Thank you again for your grace. Thank you for the opportunity that we have to learn new things about grace today. So we just ask you to bless this time and bless this opportunity. And thank you again for this opportunity that we have together. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pam. All right. Well, today we are continuing with part two of our series on grace, faith, and works. And we're wrestling with this question, now wait a minute, I'm supposed to do work for God, but I'm not saved by my works. But there's passages that say you're not saved by works, there's passages that say you are saved by your works. How does that work? And often we feel like we've not done enough for God. So what's going on with that? So these are the topics that we're wrestling with in this series. So this is part two of works. How does that work? Last week, we talked about grace and faith, and today we're going to address works and reward. Now, I used the term last week, systematic theology, because I'm a systems guy. Systematic theology is a real term in Bible school, and I know that sounds boring. Systems. Some of us, though, we work every day in systems. There are inputs and outputs, and so for those of you who are systems-oriented, I think what we've done here is we've tried to put together kind of a diagram that helps, because that's the reward of digging into the Word, is finding what is this process, how does it work? So we're working out our salvation with fear and trembling. We want to get it right, and as I said last week, I'm an elder here. I'm accountable for the words that I speak. And I seek to say nothing more than an orderly account of what was written for us in Scripture, trying to stitch these passages together in a way that we can follow them. So again, I'm going to give some of the same context and disclaimers I did last week. Grace, faith, and works has been a hot topic in the church for centuries. And we don't have centuries before lunch today. So we're going to cover this at a high level. I would love to go deeper with other conversations after this, if you'd like, but we're going to cover what we can. And I also said last week that we're likely stomping on theological landmines. When you talk about grace, faith, and works and how they work, there are lots of different denominations and doctrines that have splintered because of the way they interpret these passages. So our intention today is not to split the church into 100 new denominations, but to simply focus on what does the Word say and what is one way that we can understand that together. I've got some diagrams, like I said. Thanks for passing those out. This first 2 weeks in this series, we're going to be looking at the mechanics, the systematic nature of this. And then next week, we're going to really turn this to the heart, because this really, there's a heart issue here that we're laying the foundation for. We want to get to that heart issue of our relationship with our Father. We also last week defined some terms: grace, mercy, faith, and works. Grace is simply when God gives us something that we don't deserve. Grace is given. God has the grace for us. He gives it to us. Mercy is when he doesn't give us what we deserve, judgment withheld. So grace, he's giving. Mercy, he's withholding. And faith, Sometimes feels kind of loosey-goosey, like what is faith exactly? The faith is simply believing. It's the same word in the Greek as noun and verb form. It's the same word, it just means to believe. So when you see the word believe or faith, they're interchangeable really in Scripture. And then works, I told you we were just going to pinch hit on this definition because we're going to unpack that more today. So works, typically we think of that as something somebody did to meet the Old Testament law, or in New Testament terms, how we demonstrate our faith. So there's different ways, and we're going to get into works today to really unpack that. So we looked at this big green egg kind of shape here, which is basically the big circle that says, what am I saved by? Can I put things in? Can I make a list of things? How am I saved? Is it grace, faith, or works? And the answer is yes. So I'm going to go over this to set the, for those who weren't here last week, I'm going to review this quickly. So the work that saves us is the work Jesus did on the cross, coming to be our Savior. And that work is a demonstration of God's grace towards us. That while we were still sinners, Christ died for us, right? So that's God's grace. Then the faith comes in because that's our response to God's grace. And I know there's theological landmines right here because some people believe that you cannot initiate any of this, that God has to give you the faith to receive His grace. And so as I read Scripture, it says that God provides the grace, and our faith is in response to that. We receive His grace through faith. And then that faith, when it's worked out in our lives, produces a change in behavior which looks like good works. We're going to unpack that a little bit more today. And those good works do not replace the work that Jesus did on the cross. Our salvation is through Jesus' work on the cross, not through the works that we do later. But I'm going to qualify. There's a big asterisk hanging in the air right now because we're going to go deeper on that today. Those works, what's the purpose of those? They serve for our reward later in eternity. So we're going to look particularly today at the works and the reward. And then again, another diagram laying out, we got grace, faith, and works down the left side here. We talked last week how Jesus said he was the, Paul said that Jesus was the end of the law. And then Jesus said he didn't come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it and to complete it. And John chapter 1 said that the law came through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. And that verse we just read in the song was, and from His fullness we have all received grace upon grace. So that's why the works of the law are there on the grace line, because that grace gets replaced in just a minute. So Abraham looked at the stars, he counted God, he said, okay, God, I believe, and God promised him. Abraham says, I need some kids if I'm going to have a nation coming after me. And so God provided, and Abraham's faith was counted to him as righteousness. There's the work of salvation that was looking forward. Moses, Abraham were looking forward to the Messiah. We today look back to the work that he did, the grace of God demonstrated for us. And then our faith then, as Paul explains to us, that before the law was the faith of Abram, and that faith is what saves us. It's not the works of the law. The purpose of the law is to point out our sinful nature and to understand who God is and that He's holy. So our faith then is in a long line of faith as Abraham, believing in God. And then that faith then produces evidential good works, which we read, and we're going to read again here in Ephesians chapter 2, are prepared beforehand for us to do. That's why there's a little gift box down there in the bottom left corner. There's something God prepared for us way in advance. And then at the end of time, when we are reunited with our Creator, there's a reward that we're going to understand as we look more at that today. But we have to be careful what we build on the foundation of Christ, because some of those works that we have done will not stand the fire of eternal judgment because they're of no eternal value. So I know I went through that really quick. We unpacked that much more last week. I wanted to just recap. So that's where we're leaving off today as we begin. So I called this Ashley's Creed just to say, this is what I see when I read the Scripture. We are saved by our individual faith, our belief in the saving work of Christ, which is God's grace toward us. The evidence of our faith is good works, which were prepared in advance for us and yield an eternal reward yet to be revealed. And those works will be tested by fire to remove anything of no eternal value. So that's what we're going to unpack today. And you're thinking, okay, this sounds, okay, grace, faith, works. We've said these words over and over and over. You know, so you say any word 10 times, it kind of starts to sound weird, right? So just hold on. I promise you next week, there's something else that we're building on top of this that's going to really bring it all together. So last week, we looked at John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave, grace is given. He gave us his son. That was his grace. Whoever believes, that's faith, whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. We also looked at this passage, which is a landmark passage here, because it ties in the grace, the faith, the works. And there's actually a couple different ways you could even view the works here. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It's the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And there's a lot we unpacked on this last week. I'll just point out again that word walk there, it really in the original language connotes lifestyle. It's how we roll. This is what we do. We walk around, works just falling out of our pockets. All right? That's who we are as believers. That's just because we've been transformed and we believe this message. What we were, the grace we were just singing about, we believe it. And because we believe it, it shows in the way we live our lives. And without trying, without thinking, sometimes, a lot of times with thinking and with trying, but other times just by default, we live our life and people are able to enjoy the fruit of our devotion to the Lord that comes off in good works. So I want to spend most of our time today now focused on works and reward. And I put some light bulbs on these slides because there were some times I was, like I said last week, I kind of went on this journey working through Scripture for my own self to understand what does Scripture really say. And there were a couple light bulb moments where I had, aha, okay, now I get it. This helps. And one of the things that helped me, again, this is my view of the Scripture, is that there are different kinds of works and different outcomes of those works. So let's, what do I mean by that? So there's different types of works. There's works of the law, works of salvation, and then these good works that are a result of faith. So the works of the law really just lead to the conviction of sin. You know, over and over in the book of Romans, Paul lays out the case for this, that the law serves to show us that we can't do it all ourselves, that we need, there's the sacrificial system that God put in place with the law. Right, there's sacrifices that have to be made to atone for sin. And one of these days, there's going to come a Messiah who will take care of all of that. And that was Christ. So the works of the law lead us into this conviction of sin. And we also read last week how the law was like a pedagogue, was the word, a teacher, a tutor, a schoolmaster, someone who helps us learn the nature of God. Okay, so then there's work of salvation, which we said was just what Christ did on the cross. That earns our salvation, covers our sin. And then there's these good works of faith, and that's where we're going to spend most of our time today, is talking about these works that result from our faith and yield an eternal reward for us. So, now we begin the thorny problem of, wait a minute, there's passage. We just read Ephesians that said we're not saved by our works. And now we're going to read some passages that say you are saved by your works. So which is it? How do we understand this? All right. So Romans 3, wonderful passage here. It really gets to the heart of this. Romans 3, verses 20 through 31. We'll read a few of these verses here. For by the works of the law, okay, we just looked at the works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction. I just realized I left out verse 21 there. Skipped over that. So then we've got the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. There is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. This is a popular verse that we quote when we're sharing the gospel. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and are justified by His grace as a gift. Again, grace is a gift that God gives us, right? Through Jesus Christ, through the redemption that is Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by His blood, to be received by faith. For we hold that one is justified by faith apart from works of the law. The only place in my life I've ever heard this word propitiation is right here. I don't know that that's something I use in everyday vocabulary anywhere else. And when you look up the word, the dictionaries, they just point to this one use of it, right? So what does that mean? It's satisfying God's wrath on sin. God put forward as to satisfy His wrath on sin, the blood of Christ, right? The Passover lamb that was modeled in the law, right? So the propitiation, it satisfies the wrath of God on sin. And that's received by faith. So we've got, it's not the law. The law points out our sin. Grace came through Jesus Christ. We believe that. That's our faith in God's grace. It's not the works of the law. Okay, so far so good. That makes sense. Titus, he also repeats, He saved us not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to His own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. Again, it's not works of righteousness. It's not good works that saves us. All right. So now, before we get into James here, which is the legendary passage on, you know, your works are what saves you. I want to unpack a concept first. And I'm setting this up because this is kind of the way I kind of process this, there's a transitive relationship. Have you ever heard that word transitive before? Okay. So I looked this up in the American Heritage Dictionary online, and it says that in grammar terms, transitive means expressing an action carried from the subject to the object, requiring a direct object to complete meaning. So if I just say I drove, that'd be kind of weird. What did you drive? I drove the car. Okay, so the car is receiving the action of what was driven. All right, so there's something's being transferred, it says here in the next definition. And then for those of you who in logic and math, okay, you've got this relationship where A is related to B and B is related to C, therefore A and C are related. Okay, so the example is if A is less than B numerically, right, and B is less than C, then that implies that A is less than C. So there's this relationship between these elements that look perhaps unrelated, but because one's related to the other and that one's related to this other thing, there's a continuation of relationship there, transitive. Okay. So I was thinking about this. Did you know that I-71 goes from, I'm going to say Louisville. How do you pronounce the capital of the state of Kentucky? Is it Louisville? Is it Louisville or Louisville? It's actually pronounced Frankfurt.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. The capital of Kentucky is Frankfurt, not Louisville. Having spent 15 years of my life in Kentucky, they say Louisville. All right. They also say Versailles and Athens and a bunch of other things that makes your head spin. So Louisville, all right, is where I-71, you could say, starts or ends, and it goes to Cleveland. So if you show up in Cleveland and they say, well, where you been today? Well, I went through Columbus. I went through Cincinnati, but I'm originally from Louisville. That's where I started, all right? There's this transitive relationship on I-71. And what I didn't realize was that I-71 is complete right there. It doesn't go any farther northeast or any farther southwest. That's it. That's the whole thing of I-71. It just cuts from Louisville to Cleveland. But you're going to pass through Cincinnati and Columbus to get there. And so I look at this whole question of, am I saved by grace or faith or works? I think it's all kind of the same picture. I can't, if I'm on I-71, I can't get from Louisville to Cleveland without going through Columbus. If I'm staying on 71, right? I'm going to go through Cincinnati if I'm going from Louisville to Columbus. I'm going from Louisville to Cleveland. I'm going to go through Cincinnati, Columbus. So there's this kind of the sequence of the course that when I drive, I'm going to pass through these things. And so I look at this thing that we're trying to describe here is that, am I saved by grace? Yes, because that was God's gift through Christ. Am I saved by faith? Yes, because I had to believe that. And am I saved by my works? That's what we're going to get to now. So here we go. Here's the passage that always comes up on this topic, James chapter 2. And we're going to just read selected verses here, starting at verse 14 from James chapter 2. What good is it, my brothers, if someone says that he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? So also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Even the demons believe and shudder or tremble, some other translations say. You're not much better off the demons if all you do is just say you believe. That's a pretty bold statement. So you see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead. So this is kind of the focal point of the entire series right here, is where we're trying to wrestle with this. Am I saved by works? All right. So what I would put forward to you is that works are part of a whole. As we just looked at this transitive nature of A to B and B to C, therefore A and C are also related. And I think the answer here is that if we take out any one of these pieces, we're missing the formula. If we take out grace, then it's just a works-based religion, right? If I don't have to believe, there's no heart in it, right? If I take out the works, and it's just, okay, God did this amazing act of grace in providing his son. I believe that, and then I don't do anything with it. Did I really believe? Because, I'll give you an example. I bet you believe that if you drive 80 miles an hour down the road right here, you'd probably get a speeding ticket, right? And you might. I don't see that many cops out here, really, but you might. So if you believe that if you drive 80 miles an hour, you get a speeding ticket. Well, if you don't believe that, they never catch me. I'm just going to ignore the law and just blaze a trail down National Road. All of a sudden, your lack of your works will run into the reality of what you don't believe, right? So all of a sudden, you'll see the Christmas lights in your rearview mirror, and the man with the shiny shoes walks up to your car and says, "Where are you headed?" Right? So I believe that I'm going to get a speeding ticket. Therefore, I drive the speed limit, right? That affects my behavior. So if I believe that God provided his son in this lavish gift of grace to me, and I believe that, then my behavior is going to be different, because I know if I don't comply with that, that there is judgment waiting on me. And this is not a fire insurance policy necessarily, but it's salvation. And what we're looking at here is that because in response to that faith, it means that my behavior is going to be different. And so if somebody says to you, "Yes, I believe that the state does enforce the speed limit," but they continue to drive 80 miles an hour, they're looking for trouble, right? So if we say that that I believe in Jesus as my Savior, that God provided for me that grace. I believe that. But my lifestyle doesn't match that. There's a disparity there. And that's what James is trying to point out here. Faith apart from works is dead. And so that's this transitive relationship of the sequence of Louisville to Cincinnati to Columbus to Cleveland when you're driving I-71. Well, what is salvation? It starts with the grace, then our faith, which is evidenced by those works that yields an eternal reward. And that's kind of the package. So, am I really saved if there's no change in my behavior? And that's where, again, we're stomping on landmines theologically here. You know, what about the thief on the cross? You know, today you're with me in paradise. He didn't have a chance to get out and do good works, right? So there's always all these little corners of doctrine and theology to explore. But the principle is that if we just say we're a believer and continue to live like the world, we really don't believe it then, because we don't believe what is waiting on us. So let's keep going. This gets more interesting. We just built the case that Abraham was justified by his faith. And the scripture says, Abraham believed and the Lord accounted it to him as righteousness. Now James is flipping that. James is also saying that Abraham was saved by his works. And you're like, wait a minute. All these other passages say he was saved by faith. So let's read what he says about Abraham here. Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar? You see that faith was active along with his works. Faith was completed by his works. And the scripture was fulfilled that says Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness. He was called a friend of God. And you see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. So James is really leaning in on this. Not only are we saved by our works, but Father Abraham was saved by his works too. Because if he didn't really believe God and trust God that he would provide all those nations, what was he doing taking his son up the hill for that sacrifice? He really did believe it. He was acting out what he believed. He trusted God. There's a place in faith, a place of trust with the Father. And it's interesting. Sometimes the work of faith is taking some step, doing something that we believe God has called us to do. Other times, the work of faith is doing nothing and stepping back, saying, God, I trust you that you are going to do this. And so Abram's thinking, so if I don't have a son and there's a promise of nations, something doesn't add up here, but I trust God. So I trust him to do whatever it takes to fulfill that promise. Not at all on the same grand scale, but I didn't have any time this week to prepare for this message. But this act of trust and faith, I actually got in a couple hours last night at the end of my week. I don't know what was going on, but the Lord was trying to teach me about faith and grace this week. Every opportunity I had for spare time or allocated time even to work on my message today was systematically plucked out of my calendar. Even yesterday, we went to see some family in Dayton, and we were stopped on I-70 for 2 hours, dead stop, in this tragic accident that happened on the interstate yesterday. Even this morning, my alarm didn't go off for me to get up and review my notes for the morning. I mean, God has systematically, and many other examples, God systematically plucked away all the time that I had prepared. Now, thankfully, I had gotten most of this already done the previous week, but there's a place of trust to say, okay, God, you're trying to tell me something here, and so I'm just going to stand back and watch. I don't have to get in it. So sometimes there are works of action. Sometimes there are works of simply trusting God. So we see here, though, that Abraham, depending on what time you are in the story here, his faith was completed by his works. Completed, fulfilled, demonstrated. So Abraham did believe God, and that was righteousness, but then that belief was worked out in obedience to this amazing thing that God was calling him to do. So works complete the faith in God's grace that saved you. Now, let's double down on this a little bit more, okay? All right, if we're going to go to the camp where we're saved by works, there's some other interesting passages to look at. Here in John chapter 6, 28, 29, some young guys come up to Jesus and they said, "What must we do?" Don't we approach God like that? God, what do I need to do to make you happy? And this, we have this dialogue in our head. What have I got to do? And so they're coming to Jesus. What must we do to be doing the works of God? And what was Jesus' answer? This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. So even Jesus is making a connection here between faith and works. So you want to show me works, start with faith. There's this inseparable relationship here. Let's take a look at Philippians 2, 12 and 13. "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure." And this gets into some of those theological edges where people say, did I initiate the faith? Am I initiating these works? They were prepared in advance. God's working in me. Who owns the initiation of this action here is a theological rabbit hole that has been explored for centuries. So we see that God is working in us to work for his good pleasure. And we also read in Ephesians that there are works prepared in advance for us to do. So he's working to achieve his purposes in the earth. And unfortunately, I don't think we're going to have enough time to unpack this. But we're going to save that for next week about what that looks like. But it is God who works in you. So part of what happens in us when we believe in the grace he's given us, there's work that happens, that God pours through us work for his pleasure. And then this one's really obvious, all right? Hebrews chapter 11, the faith chapter, all right? Would the faith chapter, Hebrews 11, be very exciting if it was just a bunch of people that believed and sat in their tent? Simple question, all right? I believe in God. Yes, I do. There's a couple hundred thousand of us here in the desert. We believe in God. But this whole chapter is about works that were the product of faith, right? I mean, these people weren't doing this for their own entertainment. God called them. He put a burden on their heart. They believed it by faith. Abel, starting right off the bat, presented a better sacrifice than his brother Cain. By faith, Enoch. By faith, Noah. He built a boat. It took him decades. All kinds of ridicule. He wasn't doing that for his own... Well, he kind of was doing it for to save his own neck. And it says right here in Hebrews that he saved not only his own family, saved the human race, right? And so you go look through all of these things. By faith, Abraham lived in tents, it says. By faith, Moses... he decided that all that stuff in Egypt and the fame and of being the governor's son wasn't really worth it. He's going to go suffer with his own people. You know, there's all these stories of stop the mouths of lions, quench the flame. They were put in chains. They wandered about in deserts and caves. You know, the women received their dead back to life. And now, I realize this is a little bit different than saying that these people were saved by their works, all right? I'm not saying that, but their faith was demonstrated in their works. So there's a whole chapter that says there is clearly a relationship between faith and works here. Faith works. It's a byproduct. Works are a byproduct of faith. So would these saints be known for their faith alone without these works? Probably not. So let's go back to this verse, because now it gets really interesting. We're putting James, it says, look, you're saved by your works. And then we put that by Ephesians 2 again. Let's go back. For by grace, okay, God's grace, you've been saved through faith, that you believe in that grace. And this is not your own doing. It's a gift of God, okay? It's not a result of works, so that no one may boast. You couldn't earn it, right? There's another song I'm thinking about doing here, Matt, another Matt Redman song, is you. Yeah, I didn't deserve it. I couldn't earn it. You know, that's the definition of grace. So it's not a result of my works, okay? My works did not cannot replace the original work that Jesus did for salvation. However, we're in this partnership. It says we are his workmanship. He is working in us, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So it's in this passage, there's this tension between works and works. We're not saved by works, but we're created for good works, right? So the work of salvation was Christ on the cross. The works of me living out my faith are the evidence of that, that I've believed. So am I saved by grace, faith, or works? Yes. Because if I take any one of those pieces out of that circle there, I'm missing something. And that's where a lot of aberrant theology develops. Different world religions focus on being works-oriented. We have to earn our status before God. And Christianity flips that and says, no, you couldn't earn your status before God. It's his grace. And he actually loves you. He's not mad at you. He loves you. That's a different story than all the rest of the world religions. And so if you pull out any piece in this circle here, then you're missing something. All right, so let's talk about rewards. There's so much we could talk about. People have been talking about this for centuries. And I'm looking at the clock. It's 11 o'clock already, in case you're wondering. Well, we're going to get out here in a few minutes. I want to just talk about rewards. Oh, I've got both barrels loaded up. We'll save the rest for next week. But we're going to get out here at a decent time. All right. So rewards. Now, the outcome of our works after salvation. This was another aha moment for me as I was reading through Scripture. Because I'm trying to wrestle with this. Okay, I'm not saved by my works, but I am saved by my works. I'm supposed to do good works. How does this work, right? And so it's kind of like that. You ever see the video of the squirrel feeder with like the ears of corn and it kind of spins? And so the squirrel jumps, and as soon as he thinks he's got it, he flips right off. You know, it's like, I think I understand this works. No, I don't. You know, and so I've been struggling with this for years, and so I'm looking at this, and suddenly this was the light bulb that solved it all for me. Okay, so if I'm doing these good works, and it doesn't contribute to my salvation, what's this for? Well, there's a reward. And I was reading in the Sermon on the Mount, and this grabbed my attention, because Jesus emphasizes this in three situations here in chapter 6, that middle chapter of the Sermon on the Mount. And he's driving a point home. Beware of practicing your righteousness before others in order to be seen by them. Matthew chapter 6. For then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. All right. So if we are doing good things just to be noticed by other people, we will not have a reward from our Father in heaven. And then he talks about when you give, when you pray, and when you fast. And there's this beautiful symmetry in each one of these examples that he gives. He talks about how the Pharisees, when they give, he said, well, he doesn't give them the grace of calling them Pharisees here. He calls them hypocrites. See Matthew chapter 22 for more on that, all right? The hypocrites, we talked about that last year about this time. So the hypocrites, when they go to the synagogue and they're out in the streets, they're doing this, they just want to be praised by others. And truly I say to you, they got their reward. They have received their reward. So that so that your giving may be in secret, as your Father who sees in secret will reward you. All right? So there's this thing about good works, but also there's this thing about the motive behind those works. If we're doing this just to be noticed, our motive is going to affect our reward. And he says this three different times. He says, your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Your Father who is in heaven, right? So it's kind of building this idea that, wait a minute, there's an outcome that hinges on my works. Not only that, it also hinges on my motive for those works. We're getting back to the prodigal son, hint, hint. All right, the older brother, we're coming back to that. We're coming full circle. We've heard about the prodigal son and the older brother several times this year. We're coming full circle back to that next week. All right, then I about fell out of my chair when I saw this. Genesis 15:1. How have I missed this my entire life? Genesis 15. We've read this passage about Abram believed God and was counted to him as righteousness, but we missed this word. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Fear not. Okay. So he's telling him, have faith, right? Fear, faith, opposite. So you're saying, Abram, have faith. Don't be afraid. I am your shield. Your reward will be very great. Abraham believed God, was demonstrated in his works, trusting that he would offer his son. God would provide for the nation the promise. God did provide. And here, right up front in the deal, before we even got to any of that, God is saying there's the reward concept here on the other side of those works. And wouldn't you know, and also in Matthew chapter 5, in the first part of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, rejoice and be glad. He's talking about persecution here. For your reward is great in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. How have I been reading the Bible my entire life and I missed this concept? It was just this big aha moment for me that, yes, our works have a destination. We're going from Louisville to Cleveland, all right? We stop off with grace, faith, works, but the destination is the reward at the end. A couple popular passages from Isaiah 40 and 62. Behold, the Lord God comes with might and his arm rules for him. Behold, his reward is with him and his recompense before him, with God coming in the close of time here, right? Behold, the Lord is proclaimed to the end of the earth. Say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your salvation comes. Behold, his reward is with him and his recompense before him. God's got a big bag of rewards is what this sounds like coming with him. There's some judgment coming, but for those who have obediently followed and laid down their lives, they've believed in the grace he provided, those folks will see their reward. And then we could just continue to read over and over throughout the New Testament, everywhere this word reward is. Here's 1 Corinthians 9:17. For if I do this of my own will, I have a reward. But if it's not of my own will, I'm still entrusted with stewardship. And knowing that from the Lord, you'll receive the inheritance as your reward, serving Christ. And just on and on and on. 2 John 1:8, watch yourselves so that you may not lose what we have worked for, but may win a full reward. So there's no reward, there's a partial reward, there's a full reward. Hard work is involved with that. Remember last week we said it's not, okay, we believe, God, you provided this grace, I believe, I receive it. But then that doesn't mean we don't work, all right? It's not because, okay, God's given me this grace, I'm just going to stand here and receive this grace. Oh, thank you, Jesus, more grace. I think I need that. You know, I was telling him this morning, I said, I can't, my daddy's got deep pockets because I keep spending grace every day. He's not running out, right? So, but if we have that attitude, we're just going to sit back and just continue to receive all this goodness. He says, watch out. You know, but there's good work that's being done here. And Paul said last week, we read, I've worked harder than any of them. And so there is this graduated reward system here. Now, this is really the good right here. All right, Hebrews 11:6. We've read this one our whole lives as well and skipped over this word reward. And without faith, it's impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. So there's this continuum here. Grace, faith, works, reward. Now, we're wrapping up here. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 5 through 15. All right, wages for fellow workers. Wages, kind of like rewards here. So this whole thing about Apollos and Paul. What is this about Apollos? What is this about Paul? Paul's writing here, and he says, servants through whom you believed. And we're going to really unpack this more next week. Servant is somebody that does work. Right? They believed, so now they're doing works, and then other people are believing on account of their works. And these works were assigned. It says the Lord assigned to each. I planted, Apollos water, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants or he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. He who plants and he who waters are one, and each will receive his wages according to his labor, for we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. This whole notion that when we step into believing the grace that God has provided for us, our salvation, and then we begin to walk in that work, as we've just read over and over, as God working through us, works prepared in advance for us. And even Jesus said, I can do nothing without the Father, right? So God is working through us. That work looks like other people coming to faith here as Paul and Apollos are preaching. Now, here's the big gotcha at the end. All right. There's some caution here. So continuing in 1 Corinthians 3:10, according to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation and someone else built upon it. Let each one take care how he builds upon it. That's our warning. So for no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. All right, we're talking about this progression, grace, faith, works, reward. That foundation, the grace, that's the foundation of Christ. Okay. Now, if anyone builds on that foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or straw, each one's work will become manifest, for the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. If the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. And we don't have much time to unpack this left today, but wow. So the kind of work that we do, not only the motive of the work, but the actual substance of that work, we have to be certain that that is of eternal value here, because it will be judged by fire. Now he says, notice he clarifies that you're not saved by your works, you're still saved. Even if you spend your whole life on fruitless activities, it doesn't matter in eternity, you're still saved. But these works are aiming for a reward that will be tested. These works will be tested by fire. So we need to be really careful. Where are we investing in this life? Where are we spending our time? What are we focusing on that when we get to the other side and we see the fire of judgment, and all of our works are laid out before us, what will remain? What will have eternal value? And pause as you think about, what am I working on right now? What's on my calendar this week? Where am I spending my time? Will that really matter? A year from now, will it matter in eternity? That's what Paul is saying here. He's giving us caution. Take care what you are building in this life that has eternal value. Okay. So the outcome of our grateful works is not salvation. It is a reward yet to be revealed. Now those works are, again, part of that formula, saying that it's grace, God's grace, our faith, evidenced by works that lead to a reward. All right, so that's the diagram. That's now explains that little burning log on the right side of the diagram. All right, okay. Well, there's more to this yet to unpack next week. I'm really looking forward to it because it's going to be where the rubber hits the road kind of part next week. All right. So we're talking about theology and doctrine type things. All right. What does this really matter in my life? That's where we're getting to next week. It affects how we think, how we live our lives, as we've seen so far hinted in these passages. So we're going to go ahead and hit the timeout right there. I'm going to resume this next week with the final installment, part three. And we're going to see more about this cooperation with God as fellow workers in the kingdom. Okay, at this time, Mike has some announcements for us. And then Pam's going to come up and pray.
Thank you for that message, Ashley. It's a lot to digest. God has given us a lot to think about here. So we have a lot going on. I'll go through a number of these announcements. First of all, there will be prayer for the nations next Sunday at 7 p.m. Also next Sunday morning during the Sunday school hour, we're going to start VBS. That's Vacation Bible School for the kids. So get geared up for that. And praise God, our restrooms are making great progress. They are going to be mainly completed by the end of this week. There will be a few things still going on. I think maybe some of the light fixtures are being replaced. And August 8th, important date, remember to vote. Pro-life forces in the Ohio legislature have arranged for a special legislation, and that will help the plight of the unborn if as we vote for that. So the other thing is August 19th, there's a wedding, but there's also a Bill Glass Behind the Walls on that date in London and Marysville, and today's the deadline if you wanted to sign up for that. If you have any questions, you can see Bill at the back here.